What's up, everybody? This is Healing Intentions, and I'm your host, Dr. Adrian Mometi. This podcast is about natural health and wellness, mental health, cannabis, psychedelics, philosophy, and spirituality. Today, my guest is Adrian Lozano. Adrian is a psychedelic coach who guides people through transformations with the use of psychedelic plant medicines. He guides individuals to discover their true potential through altered states of consciousness and integrate it into their life. He uses other modalities such as meditation, breathwork, microdosing, and sound healing to facilitate breakthroughs and create lasting changes for his clients. Let's get started. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Healing Intentions. Today I have a really amazing guest, Adrian Lozano. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Glad to be here, Adrian.
Awesome. Yeah, we got double Adrians here, man. It's a pretty powerful combo. You know, I haven't met too many Adrians in my life, but every time I have, they're pretty awesome and special. So,
got the Adrian squared energy tonight.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. So, just want to start out with, you know, what is your background? Kind of tell us your story, your journey up until this point.
Yeah, so I'm a psychedelic coach, and my journey with plant medicine and psychedelics, it's kind of what my whole, like, how my whole transformation happened. I started working with plant medicine about 5 years ago, mostly ayahuasca. That's the one that I've sat with the most. And when I first started working with her, I was going through a lot. I was depressed. I had a lot of anxiety, a binge drinker. So I had a lot of things I needed to work on, and like the medicine just really showed me a different path. And it took me a while to learn like what she was showing me, because I was very hard-headed, and like so like I didn't know about integration or anything like that. The first, I would say, 3 years of working with it, I didn't know how to integrate. So like I would have these experiences that come back and think I was healed, spiritually bypassed a lot, and then and then so I finally realized, like, when I met a medicine community in Los Angeles, what integration was. And then I had a really profound experience where I had like an ego death experience, and that like really humbled me. And then so my path started changing, and I started really doing the integration work and doing like actual trying to heal myself. So I started going to like therapy, doing yoga, became plant-based. And you know, before I knew it, like I was like, holy crap, like my brain is changing. The my thoughts, my habits, like everything around me was shifting. My energy was changing, and people started really seeing that. So like I started transforming in a way, and I was like, holy crap, like who is this new person? Like people were asking me, who is this new person? What are you doing? So then after that, like that's when I started getting more involved with like my community. And then I started facilitating and helping out in ceremonies. So I've sat in, you know, many ayahuasca ceremonies, also work with San Pedro, work with psilocybin mushrooms, and Cambo as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I've seen quite a bit of stuff, and it just always surprises me like what people go through when they're in these experiences. And me myself, I still, you know, have things I'm working on, and you know, it's a never ending thing. But just the intelligence of the plants and how they have so much wisdom to offer us. So yeah, now going, you know, where I'm at now, I just left LA, I quit my job, I'm doing psychedelic coaching and, you know, this type of work now, and just going all in on it. And it feels really good to be doing something that I'm passionate about, something that I can share my gifts and, you know, just do what I'm meant to be doing.
Wow, man, that's beautiful. That's really awesome. And yeah, San Diego welcomes you with open arms.
Yes, it has.
It's beautiful down here. I've been down here just over a year now, and I really love it. And I lived up in LA too, and you know, it's cool, and there's some cool pockets for sure and awesome communities and stuff, but overall I just really enjoy it down here for sure. So you talked about spiritual bypass. Why don't you kind of define that a little bit for people? What's an example of how that looked like in your life? Because that's pretty interesting. I know that's a common thing that can happen, you know, in this community. So yeah, how did that look like in your life?
Yeah, so for me it was thinking I was healed without doing all the work, without doing any of the like shadow work, any integration, any like, and just thinking like, oh wow, like, I did this ceremony, like I'm all about love and light now. I'm fucking healed, like, you know, like
right.
And then like, you know, and then like 6 months, I don't know, just like little by little, I was like, dude, like you're not who you think you are. Like, dude, you're not you still have depression. Like you're still a piece of shit.
Some negative self-talk there, right?
Yeah. That was like that. But like, I don't know. I think to me, spiritual bypassing is like when people just try to think that they're holy now, they're healed, they're this, they're that, mm-hmm. and without really like doing the inner work that needs to be done. And I think with in that spirituality, like there's a lot of like the polarity of the darkness, the shadow work, and the things that we those parts of ourselves that we don't really want to look at,
right?
Because they're ugly, or because, you know, they're trauma, all this stuff that has. So for me, like, I didn't look at any of that when I started my spiritual journey, because the darkness was like scary. So I was just mm-hmm. like, I'm just gonna like run to the running light, to the love and light, like not look back.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I did. But
mm-hmm.
what happened was like in part of my journey was like all the darkness and all that was kind of it's still there. We're just like, even if we're not looking or trying to hide it, like that part of us is still there.
Right.
So things would kind of project and manifest, and like all these things would kind of come. And I'm like, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was a big part of my journey was to do the shadow work and to look at my traumas and in ways I project or in the ways that I kind of try to bypass other things too, and like and really like it's tough work looking at yourself in that way, but right. it's like looking at a mirror in yourself and like seeing like what's really under there.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, man, that makes sense. It's, you know, that tough shadow work. It's like, you know, one of my favorite quotes, the cave you fear to enter contains the treasure you seek.
Mm.
Right? And like these deep dark caves of our subconscious that a lot of people aren't ready to go to sometimes, but hey, when you build up the courage enough to at least say, hey, I'm ready to go there. And it's always still terrifying, right? Like before every ceremony, you probably still have a little bit of like, oh, what's gonna come up here, right?
Yeah.
But you know, that shadow work is so important, and integrating it all to your, you know, to make up like your whole mm-hmm. you know, that holistic, like the whole person that you are, the light and the dark.
Yeah. And it's interesting because now, like with clients, that's like one of the most difficult parts, but funnest part for me, like is going into the shadows
mm.
and the fact that because I've gone to that depth with myself,
right,
I'm able to go there with others or take the others there. Like, hey, you know, this is where we're going. I have a flashlight, but we know, I don't know how it's going to look like, but we're going to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that me doing that work myself has allowed me to just open up a lot more. And like, we all have it. We all have shadows. We all have, that's the dark stuff, parts of ourselves. So
right. Yep.
That's kind of cool how like you can, once you do your work, then you have the capacity to hold space for others.
Definitely. It's almost like a responsibility or duty, you know, once you've healed yourself, it's like, well, now I have to share this and heal with, you know, I get to share this and help others heal themselves, because you're not doing the healing. You're just facilitating.
Yeah, like what I say, I'm just being a witness to them doing their healing, and really, like I'm just holding space, and like all I can do for myself is work on me, and all they can do for them is work on them.
Right.
And me just like sit there as a witness and be like, okay, you know. Yeah.
And if we are all connected and one, right? Then as I heal myself, that's healing you. As you heal yourself, that's healing me, and we're all healing.
The world's healing.
Yeah, together, and that's kind of what we're all trying to do together, right, in this community, and just, you know, raising the level of consciousness of people to just realize like, hey, shit, I have a lot of power.
Yeah.
I'm really powerful, and if I just like give the body, you know, what it needs and get my mind right and get, you know, through my traumas and through my different like limiting beliefs, some magic can happen. But you got to work, you know, yeah. Be willing to go there and do that work. And
it's not easy.
No.
It's not easy. It's tough. You're gonna cry. You're gonna have hard days. You're gonna wake up. But you know what? The grass is greener where you water it. So
there you go. Exactly. I think that's a Zig Ziglar quote. He's one of my favorites.
Oh, nice.
Old school. OG, you know, like sales, like, you know, like before Tony Robbins, like kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And motivation and like good stuff. He has some good books. That's funny. That's a good one. The grass is greener where you water it. Exactly.
True, right.
It's, you put in the effort to something, you know, and it's like part of that's like perspective. Like you look for the positive in something, you're going to find it. You look for the negative, guess what? It's there too. So it's all about what you're looking at, how your perspective is.
Yeah. Like, you know, in terms of like just me being out here now in San Diego, like I've been meeting some pretty amazing people such as yourself and like other people that we know together. And this is like, it's weird how things have been manifesting, but it's almost like people, when I tell people this, from back home, they're like, that's not surprising. Like, you've been putting in the work and you've been doing all this stuff. So like, you're kind of like bringing that into yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right. Kind of crazy how things work out.
Mm-hmm. And when it's starting to work out and like, you know, keeps happening more and more and more, and you're like, not that surprised anymore. Cause you're like,
yeah now I'm not surprised. And I think yeah. Now it's just like, I just trust and I surrendered.
Right.
Which is kind of hard to do in all moments, because there's moments where you're like, you don't want to trust. You're like, I don't know what's going to happen, but mm-hmm. you just remember, trust and then surrender, and then whatever is meant to be will be.
That's it. That's one of the, you know, like phrases I've heard said often in the psychedelic community: trust, let go or surrender, and be open. Just be open to what comes up.
Yeah. And it's particularly in working with, well, any plant medicine, but especially with Mother Ayahuasca, like you have to surrender. Myself included, like when you're in a ceremony and you're not surrendering, you're going to struggle and you're going to be suffering. And even as a facilitator, like, you can't help out anyone if they're not willing to surrender. Like they're doing it to themselves, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So like, that's it really humbles you in that way and teaches you grace. And like, then afterwards you'd be like, oh wow, if I just would have, you know, surrendered a long time ago, I wouldn't have suffered for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of us do that? How many times are we resisting what is happening, and in essence we suffer?
Right. And that's not just, you know, during a ceremony.
No.
While you're, you know, going through the the most intense, you know, sometimes visuals and, you know, things coming up. And, you know, I've only had one experience with ayahuasca, and it was the most intense psychedelic experience I've ever had, for sure. So
well, you know, I like to say life is a ceremony. So
yep.
You know, things that happen inside, outside, it's all the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, man. Definitely. And I definitely felt how they say that you need to develop a relationship with the, you know, with the plant, with mother, grandmother, ayahuasca, right? Many names that, you know, vine of the dead and all these different things.
Yeah.
But man, just so powerful. And I had a kind of hesitation about doing it, you know, somewhere here locally, like, back in Illinois is where I did it, but or going down like to the Amazon or something more like, you know, in a jungle. And I was really like, oh, I'd love to do it there, and you know, more authentic, whatever, indigenous. But I just, it felt right, and so I did it with somebody, one of my good friends, nice. That I'm about to release an episode with also, where we talk about the ceremony a little bit more. And so I did that. But yeah, I think, you know, what's your thoughts on that, kind of where you are and who you do it with and all that? Like, what do you say to people for that?
Yeah, so I like to say that the medicine has a way of finding you.
Yeah,
she has a way of calling to you. So like, really listen to that call, and no one can be pushed to go to a ceremony ever. They have to want, they have to be willing to want it.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be ready to receive. So however that is gonna happen, whether it's, you know, hey, I have someone that's coming down from Peru, or I have this community in LA, or whatever it is,
right.
Listen to the calls that are, if you feel called and drawn. Now, for me personally, I have not been to the Amazon, so, and I've done ayahuasca plenty of times, but I don't think it's, yeah, it is cool to like go there and see how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also had curanderos that have came here, and I've seen how they do the ceremonies. And also, like, I've had people that aren't curanderos that had the medicine, it still works, and it's still going to do what it has to do.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you have a shaman and you're in the jungle, or you're in, you know, Palm Springs or something, like somewhere, like, it doesn't, at the end of the day, the medicine's going to do what it needs to do, and it's still going to do the work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
She always gives you what you need, not what you want.
Mm.
So, like, yeah, I don't, to me, it doesn't, because I've drank in different communities, and it's, they're all kind of similar experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, different the way the ceremony is ramped, but in terms of like, right, where she's taking you,
right,
like that's kind of this. And that, and at some points you don't even know where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
So right, it's like, you know, you could be in the jungle, but you might be in LA.
yeah in the jungle of LA.
yeah so
that's, I mean, interesting. Yeah, because, you know, it, there's a lot of talk at these psychedelic conferences and stuff, and I was just at Meet Delic in Las Vegas, which I could talk about, you know, a little later, about just great event, you know, a lot of great speakers and met a lot of cool people. But they talk about at these conferences how, you know, how effective is it? Is it the plant? Is it the substance doing the work? Or is the set and setting, how big of a part of that is it? Like, it, you know, these trials, they're doing them in the clinical settings, you know, in the hospitals. Like, some of these places are not the most, like, like ideal set and setting, but like it's still working.
Yeah.
You know, and versus like in a ceremonial, you know, ritualistic type setting where it's like, you know, out in whatever, you know, the jungle and a, what's that called? Maloka, like all the different stuff, you know?
Yeah. So like to that, I would say that I feel like, to me at least, in a ceremony, depending on the medicine you're doing,
mm-hmm.
ayahuasca for sure, ceremony context, I don't see it ever being done otherwise.
Right.
Psilocybin too. And like, I think it's better to be done, me personally, with the intention of healing and elevating yourself,
right.
to do it in a ceremony, because there is something about a ceremony that you have the energy of everyone in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You're all connected in mm-hmm. some way. When they're healing, you're healing.
Right.
You rise together consciously. Mm-hmm. And there's just the energy that you feel. It could be intense, but it's just so beautiful. And it's like, also like usually in the ceremony, there's people singing and dancing and laughing and crying and purging. So all these different things are orchestrated into your ceremony and are part of your experience. So maybe someone crying a lot is going to trigger something within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone's purging and then you need to purge. There's sometimes when you can energetically purge for someone else, which is crazy. I've done it before. So,
yeah.
And just like after a ceremony or after that kind of experience, you just feel a level of connection with everyone around you. And just that love for that person that you might not even have known, but after they've seen you puke and like, you know, cry and like mm-hmm. all this stuff, mm-hmm. you guys are connected. Like
yep.
there is so much like just vulnerability that goes along with that. So I think a ceremony is a great way to experience it. Like in terms of like, and also being held, that's important. Like being around people,
mm-hmm.
is about setting community. And yep. like, you know, I think this is how this medicine was done by the indigenous people. So why not keep that reverence?
Right. For sure. No, it makes sense. And, you know, it's so interesting. There's going to be so many ways this all gets developed with, you know, the spiritual religious use of it, right? Through the different ayahuasca churches and, you know, peyote church, you know, mm-hmm. different Native American, you know, uses and all of that stuff. And then the medical use of it through, you know, phase 3 clinical trials right now with MDMA for PTSD. You know, that's not a classic psychedelic, but it is being used in that, you know, realm of like therapy and really getting deep, you know, into the traumas of people without getting overwhelmed by the emotions for MDMA specifically, you know. So that's like the more medical route that's going to be legalized as a pharmaceutical drug,
yeah,
you know, by next year, people are saying, and that's a big deal. But that's that one route. And then, you know, there's the whole like personal use and liberty and like, you know, decriminalization and just, you know, that whole movement. Like, you know, adult use, recreational, yeah. You could say. So it's all going to coexist, I guess. It's just going to be interesting to see how it plays out and how it's different than cannabis, how it's similar, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think with these medicines, like, these are medicines from the earth to the people. So, like, why not give it back in the hands of the people? You know, like, why restrict them? Yeah. Are people going to do them recreationally? That's okay too. I mean, they can be used for recreation. Isn't bad either. Like to have fun with them, to explore, sure. to live life, to be more present.
Sure,
that's cool too. If you want to go in and heal some trauma, that's also needed too. But if you want to go in and just, if you're someone who's already well but wants to go a little more deeper and to elevate yourself, that's also cool too. Like there's enough healing that needs to be done that everyone can get their hands on it. You know,
for sure. Yeah, and that's the cool thing about the classic psychedelics, you know, psilocybin mushrooms, LSD,
mm-hmm.
Ayahuasca, peyote, and all these, you know, they're not addictive.
Yeah, no.
And I mean, you're not going to be doing this all the time. You're not going to be going to parties and, you know, drinking ayahuasca. Like, it doesn't work like that. So
no,
it's like a different use and intention. It's the intention behind it.
Yeah, but people ask me, like, before, like, why do you drink ayahuasca, like, more than once? And, like, are you addicted? I'm like, well, first of all, like, you cannot get addicted to it. Like, every time I drink it, I want to throw up. It's disgusting. Like, it's just not good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also not fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not sitting here being like, oh, I'm gonna have a great time tonight, you know. Mm-hmm. No, I'm here to do work. I'm yeah. here to discover parts of myself. I'm here to, like, in the way I see it, it's like peeling off a piece of the onion.
Mm-hmm.
So like every layer and layer, like every time we do a ceremony, every layer you go a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper, and I still have parts of myself that I have not known yet. And these medicines really help with that. And I, for me now, like, I have a different relationship with ayahuasca. Like, I really have a connection to that spirit. and where I'm pretty attached to her. Like, you know, but in a way where like I'm serving her as well. So like it's not just for my own use. It's for serving, not just in ceremony, but outside of ceremony, something like this where, you know, I get to raise awareness about it and talk about it. And I've also like people that are very interested in it, like kind of talk to them about it and kind of like guide them and be like, oh, well, you know, this is, if you know you're ready, this is kind of what it looks like or whatever.
So. Yep. Yep. Because there's a lot more curiosity and publicity and, you know, just talk about it, open discussion. And that's a great thing, you know, but people are wanting to, you know, rightfully so, they want to know what they're getting into, how, like, what's the right way to do it. They've heard stories of like, oh, people going to Amazon and, you know, like crazy stuff happening, you know, bad things, unfortunately. So like, you want to, you know, be careful and do it with the right, you know, intention and community and all that.
And that is true. Like, you know, the thing I tell people that when you're looking for somewhere to do it, the biggest thing is red flags to look out for. If the facility or person that is having the ceremony does not ask any medical kind of questions, that's a huge red flag. Even if you're good, if they're not asking you, they're not asking other people. And they're not asking other people, that's a huge liability because there's contraindications with this medicine. Not everyone can do it.
Yep.
So that's a recipe for like a disaster. Also, like, I would also only sit with someone that has been recommended to you by someone else that has sat with them. So someone, you know, if someone like, yeah, this person, I've sat in ceremony with them, okay, then that's, you know, not just some random person.
Right.
And just maybe like also like ask about the ceremony, like how many people are there, how many male female ratio if you're women, and ask like, you know, where is it at, all these different, we want to ask the different questions. And then I would say the biggest thing too is be mindful around how they ask for the donation or money around it. If I've been in ceremonies before where it was really obvious that they really cared about the money and like, you know, they were like asking me like, you know, okay, here's a payment, and then once you pay, you get the, like, it's just like, it was just really sketchy. Like, I would ask them a question like, oh yeah, I first like finish up with the payment, and I was just like,
oh,
all right. And I was okay. Yeah. But so like, you know, really be mindful about, some people unfortunately are using this for financial benefit, big financial benefit. So it kind of, it's kind of sad to see that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's a place that you feel like they're charging too much, then maybe your intuition's right.
Yeah. I mean, because there's a lot of these, you know, retreats that are out there that are like really like can be pricey.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure they're great. And I wonder, you know, some of them I've heard with some of the places that there could be like 60, 80 people in one ceremony. I'm just like, that's kind of crazy. You know, what do you think about that? Like in terms of how many people in an ayahuasca ceremony is ideal in your mind?
Yeah. So I've been in ceremonies where I've had 4 people. I've been in ceremonies where like 10 people, 20 people. I just came back from a retreat where there was 50 people, 60 people. And the 60 person one, the container was set up so good and everyone there was vetted pretty well. So for the most part, like, it was a really heavily tight container where nothing got out of hand. And I think in that case, if that's the, if the people running it, you know, if that's the intention about it and then everyone's there like kind of on a similar wavelength, then yes, that because I did feel safe. Yeah, some people had difficult experiences, but for the most part, for having 60 people, it was like actually like a smooth sailing ship, you know.
Awesome.
And for me, my sweet spot is like 10 to 15 people, because in that way, like, it's just more intimate. You're not like so far removed from everyone. You kind of know everyone there.
Yeah.
And also the energy of the room, like, is tightly held. Because the thing about the 60 people one, even though it was like a wealthy tight container, there's still a lot of energy. And even for me, like, sometimes it was a kind of a lot to handle. But for other people that aren't so used to the medicine, they were really sensitive. So they were like, this is like a lot of energy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that is a lot. So like with less people, there's just like, you know, easier to kind of manage it, less energy. You know, so I would say less is better.
Yeah, that's kind of what feels right to me. I mean, there's only 11 people in the one that I did, and it was at like a yoga studio, you know, not a huge room, you know, and we're all just kind of around in a circle. And man, I remember one of the ladies was having a really tough experience and like screaming.
Yeah,
like,
that happens.
Fuck you. Fuck this shit. Fuck, you know, like going through some horrible traumas. Yeah. And how could that not affect you, right?
Yeah.
It's just fascinating about how like, oh, wow, like people have so much pain and I feel their pain. And I'm just like, you know, you're like holding space for that person while they're going through it. And you're just like, wow.
Well, yeah, and then like what we say is like, you know, within in ayahuasca you purge, but there's different ways of purging.
Mm.
Most people think that the most common way is by vomiting,
mm-hmm.
but in reality, there's other ways you could purge. You can yawn, mm. you can cry, you can use the restroom the other way,
mm-hmm.
you can sweat, you can shout,
yeah.
and like by yelling and shouting, you'll that's a way of purging too. Dancing and like all, it's just releasing energy.
Wow.
So it's just releasing energy, and then and like she knows what to do. So like whatever you need to release, she'll kind of do it.
Wow.
She's kind of like a surgical doctor, they're saying. I mean, sorry, like a spiritual doctor,
uh-huh.
where she can go in and start to perform surgery on like if you need something like in your you know, your stomach or in your back or something, or if it's something like emotional or spiritual or energetic things that you have to release.
Yep.
She can kind of go in there and like know where she needs to go and kind of get out.
I heard this crazy story of this at this psychedelic conference I went to a few years ago, Dr. Joe Tafur, and he told a story about a lady in ceremony down in, I think, in the Amazon. She had like really bad chronic migraines and like tried everything, all these things, and really couldn't get them over, like over them. So she went and did ayahuasca, and he said that during the ceremony, the shaman saw like a vision of this lady's like DNA, and on the DNA was like this like black like dragon or snake or something like wrapped around it, and he's like, he was able to like unlock it, whatever, get it out, and she like healed. Basically was like, he's like, that correlation he made was like, that was the epigenetics of her DNA.
Wow.
And he like cleared that through the ceremony somehow, like energetically, whatever, spiritually, and she never had migraines again.
That's insane. Yeah.
So it's not just the psychological stuff.
It's physical.
It's
affecting
our literal physical bodies. And we also know the mind body connection. You affect the mental, emotional sphere, spiritual, you know, that's going to affect downstream the body, and you know, you can heal. I mean, all kinds of things, as I'm sure you've seen, right?
I've seen crazy things be healed. Like one of the crazy ones that just stood out to me the most was, I mean, there was this older gentleman in ceremony, and he was just crying almost the whole ceremony. Wow. And by the end of it, like when we were closing circle, he was like, I haven't cried in over 10 years.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, what? You haven't cried in over 10 years?
Wow.
Like, wow. And you cried tonight. I was like, wow, I got to witness that. So like for me, it's always a blessing, like seeing what people are going through in their experiences and being like, wow. Because then like I also feel like I pick up their treasures along the way. So like, you know, like at the end of the ceremony, you have so much like wisdom of the galaxy and grandmother and all these things. And like just hearing like, this is what I learned. And I'm like, wow, I need to write that down.
Yeah, that's a really, really good lesson. Let me get that lesson.
I was like,
you know, it's like I heard somebody say that everybody experiences psychedelic in life. It's called death.
Yeah.
But psychedelics are like an opportunity, especially ayahuasca, to like experience death, like an ego death before we die, and allow us to apply those lessons while we're living.
Yeah.
Still, you know, and I kind of like that because that's kind of what you can experience sometimes, right? I mean, oftentimes.
Yeah, I've died a few times.
Right. Yeah. And it's pretty fucking terrifying. It is. But out of that comes a whole lot of lessons about what's really important and you know, deeper truths about yourself and what really matters and what is not that important in your life, and you know, greater truths about the universe and you know, everything, right? I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure you've gone pretty far out there in some of your journeys.
I mean, and at the end of the day, like, it just reminds me of how much like we may think our problems or ourselves or our stories are like so substantial, but then like the medicine has a really good way of bringing you back and being like, hey, these problems aren't that big. And like, you know, like, it's okay. Like, you'll be fine. Like, everything's happening the way it's supposed to. Just stop resisting.
Mm-hmm. Stop resisting. What you resist persists.
Yes.
And just go with the flow. And that can be really hard for some people. Like, that guy he probably tried all kinds of things to get his emotions out, right? I'm assuming, maybe.
I feel like maybe, I don't think he like even cared to or knows. I think he's just like, he was like a Latino gentleman. So he probably like in his, you know, in that culture, you're not supposed to like cry. So maybe he didn't want to cry.
Right.
I don't know.
That's not manly. Then you're being like a, you know, showing your weak. Yeah. You're showing your emotions. Like, wow. Right. Yeah,
he had a good purge. He had a good cry. He was just like releasing, and it was just like so cool to just witness that.
That's so interesting too about purging, because I was going to ask you, like, purging is just getting things out,
right, in whatever
way that is. And it's interesting you said yawning. I'd never had heard that, but that makes so much sense. Is that why people yawn? It's oftentimes common for people to yawn even during other psychedelic experiences. So, wow.
Psilocybin too. Mushrooms, but it's crazy. So I was with a ceremony a couple weeks ago, and the medicine woman there, she was telling me that she asked grandmother one time. She was like, "Grandmother, why is everyone yawning? Like everyone, I guess everyone in her ceremony was yawning." She's like, "Why is everyone yawning? Why do you make us yawn?" And grandmother was like, "Well, everyone's waking up." And I was just like, oh, crap. I was like, boom.
Boom. Grandmother at the mic drop.
Yeah. She's like, everyone's waking up. So that's why we yawn. And I'm like, that's so true.
Wow. Yeah. Like, what a nice sleep that was. Wake up, Neo.
Like, oh, wake up. So, yeah. I mean, that's really what's happening when we're taking this medicine. Is any of these medicines, we're really just waking up.
Yep. And what does that mean, Adrian? How do you describe that? What does waking up mean? Waking up to what?
In my opinion, in my experience, I feel like waking up or healing in general, it's just remembering. It's just coming back home to you, going back home before the programming, the traumas, just all the pressure and all these things. At the end of the day, like all of this brings you back to your childlike self.
Right.
It brings you back to joy, happiness, curiosity. Play all of these things that we kind of as adults like don't think we can do. I remember like for a while like I was like, I'm not a creative person, and now I know I'm a creator.
Yes.
And you know, so it really healing to me and waking up is just coming back to yourself, remembering who you are. And you do it time and time again, because you know, go to sleep for a little bit and you know all this pressure comes on, stress, anxiety comes back, and then you remember like, hey, I'm a badass person, you know, like, hey, I'm here for a reason, and I'm here to walk my path. So to me, that's what it is.
That's awesome. And it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. I think it's Ram Dass that said, you think you're enlightened, go spend a week with your family, you know. And it's like the ultimate test of like where you're really at. And you know, it's so true.
And it's my favorite quote from him, which is probably why I said what I just said right now, is we're all just walking each other home.
Yep. Exactly, man. So it's like, you know, that reminds me so much of just compassion for all beings and love, an unconditional love, right? I mean, some philosophers say there's really only two emotions, love or fear. So, you know, it's like love is from our hearts and fear is coming from up here on our, you know, in our minds. And that's like a lot of the work is like dropping out of your head and into your heart.
Yeah. And on an energetic level, like fear is like way down here. Fear is like, actually, like I think shame is below that. Yeah. Fear and then shame and like all these kind of like negative frequency, you know, emotions. And as you go higher, it, you know, starts to get a little more.
I literally just shared that chart on my Instagram today.
Okay. That's funny. I didn't even see it.
Yeah. It's so crazy, man, because at the Meetdelic conference, one of the speakers was Luke Story, who I actually wasn't familiar with, but really cool guy. Really awesome.
Never heard of him.
Story. And he shared this level of consciousness chart.
Yeah.
That David Hawkins.
Put that's the one I was talking about. Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, fear is all the way down at the bottom. Yeah, 100. Yeah. It's 100 out of the 1,000 score.
Fear is worse than shame.
Shame is one of the worst. It's the worst. It's 20 score. Death is 0.
Yeah.
And shame is 20, and then fear is 100.
Yeah.
And so, but what was really fascinating about this chart, Luke Story correlated it with, I guess there's a way you can like measure yourself, like where you're at.
Yeah.
On those numbers. And he was doing it with correlating it with taking like where he was his baseline, and then he took 5-MeO-DMT.
Oh,
and you know, he got up to these certain levels, and like they were measuring like got at this point for how many minutes, this much for how many seconds, like that's and he crazy. Got up to 940. Jeez. Way up there for like a few minutes. Wow. And was at the 800s for a while there, and that like high like number. So it was fascinating. Science. I was like, whoa, that blew my mind for that he made it like objective like that.
Yeah.
So check that David Hawkins consciousness chart out, because it's pretty interesting.
Any of his books who are really good, David Hawkins, he's a lot of them.
I haven't read any of his stuff yet, but I've heard it mentioned a lot now, so I've got to dig into that among the hundreds of other books that
we had this conversation about our book collections.
It's a you know, hobby of mine, I guess you could say. I just collect books and I love it and
pretend to read them.
I don't pretend. I'm honest. I have a lot to catch up on.
I do too. It's cool. It's like I like to collect them.
And definitely. Like, you know, and I've just accepted that I probably won't catch up with all the knowledge. You know, I'll just keep adding books. I'll, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you have a long life to live. You never know.
I'll keep adding books, though. That's true. Why I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever let myself catch up.
That's true.
But I heard... he's a controversial name right now, but Bill Gates, and I'm sure other people too, take off like a week, a year just to read. He just goes and just like chills in a cabin. He just reads for a whole week just to like kind of catch up. That's pretty cool.
I got to do that.
Yeah, definitely. A little meditate, read, retreat.
I mean, I probably do psychedelics too, but.
Yeah, right. I don't know if
Bill Gates might do that. I don't know.
He might. He needs to if he doesn't. That is your line of work, so kind of makes sense for you to pop a couple.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, microdose. What's your thoughts on microdosing?
Yeah.
How do you work with that? So
microdosing is something that I've known about for some time, but really when I finished up the course I'm doing, really educated myself on it in general. And like before, I was doing it unintentionally. Like I would just do it like, I'll just do a little bit here, a little bit there. I want to feel good today. But there's really an art of microdosing, and you can do it with certain protocols, whichever one feels better to you.
Yeah.
And do it for like with intention, you know, like I want to be more creative. I want to be more into my heart space. I want to be more centered and grounded, whatever it is, have that intention and kind of like journal on that or meditate or sit in it. And every time like you take a microdose, set an intention, take it with respect. And it's, I feel like that can go a lot more further in terms of the medicine working with you symbiosisly. And I feel like doing that, like for me, like microdosing is so popular. That is the one thing that people talk to me about the most about. Even people that like have never done psychedelics are maybe doing microdosing or want to do it. People on SSRIs want to get off with them, go on microdosing.
Yep.
So I think they're, you know, as a coach, there's a lot of people that want to do that now. And I see that's becoming more popular than like wanting to do ayahuasca or, you know, I mean, people still want to do that, but you have more people that it's more accessible to, like anyone could do it. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be like a crazy big shift. That's the thing, like microdosing is actually pretty boring. Like you're not going to find like the book that has all the answers with microdosing, but over time you are going to become more present, more grounded, more whatever it is you're trying to cultivate. I think microdosing is a great tool, but if you're doing other practices like yoga, meditation, drawing, like whatever it is, that's going to help you. It's perfect for integration, actually. It's perfect for that. If you want to integrate things, if you want to like bring more of this, bring more of that, let go of these ways of thinking, these habits that, you know, are maladaptive. So I think it's better to do it in that way with intention. And like I recommend, based on what I've read, for like 6 weeks to have a protocol of something you're doing for falling for 6 weeks. And then after that, kind of check in with yourself, like be off it for a while. And then, you know, whenever you're ready, you can go again.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And, you know, my kind of take on it is, yeah, it's been useful and for a lot of people for a lot of different things. And it's definitely better than a lot of alternatives, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, in my philosophy, I guess, of naturopathic medicine, vitalism, really, of like really getting to the root cause of what's causing people's issues and not just like covering up the symptoms, even with something natural.
Yeah.
Like we call that green allopathy. It's like, oh, you have IBS, take this supplement. You know, it's not that much different than, oh, you have IBS, take this drug. You know, so it's like, it's good. It's still helping people. It's not harming, but it's not really getting to the root cause, you know? So that's what really about. And I'm just afraid that microdosing is not really getting to the root cause is just kind of like helping. It's like, oh, you got to take this then all the time. Like,
no, for how long? No, you're not. And okay. Thing, you're not supposed to. And also, like with mushroom, there's the side been like you when you take it for a long time. That's why I'm saying 6 weeks is best because right. Your body gets used to it. You're gonna grow, and it's not gonna have the effect. Yeah, your tolerance is gonna go up, and like. It's not gonna have much of an effect on you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you do it, like for a week straight, like your tolerance can go up really like fast. Even with regular mushrooms, like if you do them like multiple days in a row,
right?
By the third day, you're gonna need a lot to feel something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know if someone can use this long term, like because after a while, it's not gonna have an effect on you.
Right. That's why the different protocols are like. 4 days on, three days off, different ones like out there like that. You can look them up, you know, Paul Stamets protocol or James Fadiman. And there's other ones I've seen, but those are the main two. And it's definitely not going away. It's going to get bigger and bigger. I've seen so much come out with it and, you know, lots more to come, I think. And all these things that you're talking about, microdose, that's still all technically... not legal. So that's fascinating, right? How big that's grown and it's not even legal.
Yeah.
It's decriminalized in some areas, but that just means that you'd get a fine and not jail time.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know if any criminal people are going to like prosecute anyone for having like 0.01 of a psilocybin.
I don't think they are.
It's like, I don't think they're really going out for people.
I don't
think
that's really harming, you know, the biggest priority for law enforcement.
No, yeah.
Like, let's go find some real criminals, right?
Yeah.
But there's some BS with the drug war, you know, policies
and
the war
on
drugs.
So, I mean, we still have to be careful. We have to be mindful about, you know, what we're doing, where we're doing it at, what we're saying, where we're saying it at.
Right.
So, there's still that kind of having that mindfulness of that, but...
Right. It's just being careful, but realizing that it's happening a lot. So, there's clearly something there, you know?
Yeah, and it's going to keep happening.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's why for decriminalization, like, it's better because then you're able to have... you know, organizations, communities that can do this safely.
Right.
And people can be educated about this, not be like in the dark. I've had people that have told me like, oh yeah, my first time I did mushrooms, I did 10 grams.
Holy
and
shit.
I did not know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And it traumatized me. I'm like, you shouldn't have not done 10 grams, especially by yourself.
No.
Like, no, but like, I thought it was like weed and you could just eat a lot. And they're like,
No.
So I think harm reduction is very important, but like having people that are trained and what, you know, and being able to facilitate, you know, without being afraid, I think that's really what's going to help the movement moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. What is like advice you would give to somebody going through a psychedelic experience? You know, like, let's say obviously the best is to hook up with somebody like yourself that's doing like psychedelic coaching and like help them through the process. But let's say they're doing it on their own. What are kind of like the key things to keep in mind for like, okay, it's about your intention,
your
set and setting, you know, and then integration, like how would you break it down for somebody?
Kind of did a good job there, but like basically like I would say is whenever you work with a medicine like that is have an intention of why you're doing it,
mm-hmm.
What it is that you want the plant medicine to teach you, you know, like, okay, you want to learn about yourself, you want to learn how to heal, you want to learn how to love yourself, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
And then you can have your own ceremony. Like for a while before I even really knew what ceremony was, I was doing my own ceremonies with psilocybin, and really it's just like making your space like into a ceremony space. So putting candles, putting it kind of dark, putting some music, you know, that kind of has good vibrations,
mm-hmm.
putting a burning sage, you know, having it like, you know, having just a nice vibe. And that's the mindset and setting, you know, going in with intention. You have the right mindset, you have the right setting,
right?
And just those are like that in itself, and then wherever the medicine's going to go, it's going to take you there. So I would say those are the two most important things. And then, for ceremony at least. And then integration is the most important part.
Right.
That's actually where the work begins.
Right.
And like I said, when I first started doing psychedelics, I was not integrating. So nothing was happening. And it was just like I was actually getting worse in my depression because I was aware of my habits and aware of my thoughts that were... you know, negative, but I wasn't really doing anything about them.
Mm.
So integration is really where the work begins. And like, you know, they say like it's easy to drink a cup of ayahuasca, it's easy to do some psilocybin mushrooms and have a trip, but the hard part is integrating. That's where the work is.
Right.
That's really like, how are you going to remember what the medicine taught you? How are you going to implement this into your life? What changes are you going to make? How are you going to heal? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you really going to, how are you going to show up for yourself? So for me, every integration is different after every ceremony. Every person is different. So
Right. Based
on where you're at, integration is going to look a little bit different. Like if you're someone that is, you know, needs to be more healthy, more health conscious, and integration for you, it's going to look like, you know, doing, you know, going out, buying food, buying mm-hmm. produce, mm-hmm. going to the gym, going to that. If you're someone that maybe drinks a lot, mm-hmm. and integration for you might be going to therapy and figuring mm-hmm. out what's mm-hmm. going on. And like, you know, really working through your trauma. So integration looks different for everyone. There's different practices. That's why it's good to work with a coach, because
Right. We
have a lot of tools and a lot of experience. So we know kind of like, you know, you're someone that has maybe some trauma growing up, like you might need to go to some kind of like maybe somatic therapy or do some kind of different stuff to kind of, maybe you can go out to like ecstatic dancing or whatever it is mm-hmm. to kind of like, to that can go with whatever it is you're trying to integrate.
Definitely. Nice. That's very helpful. Yeah. It's because it can be an overwhelming experience. And like you said, yeah, a lot of people have these experiences of like, whoa, I ate 5 grams of mushrooms by myself in the forest and it was a wild experience, but like, what now? Like, mm-hmm. you know, like people are like, yeah, I saw God and, you know, the forest, and now I got to go to work on Monday morning. And what do I do with that? Like,
and that's the thing too, like,
right.
Because of these experiences, I always say to wait at least a few weeks before making any big decisions. Mm.
That's good,
especially
advice.
With ayahuasca. Cause sometimes like you think like, oh man, I need to quit this job tomorrow. I need to break up with this person tomorrow. Mm. I need to do all these things. No, let it actually integrate into your life. Like, do you really want to quit this job, or do you just want to find some, I don't know, like, are you lacking in some other parts of you? Like, do you really want to move to the other side of the country? Or like, do you just need to, like, so I've had experiences where like, oh my God, I gotta travel, I gotta do this. One funny one, like, one time the medicine was like, you need to go be a yoga teacher. So I was like looking up yoga teacher trainings, like uh-huh. after ceremony, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna do this one. And I'm like, in the morning I was like, no, you're not. Like, you're not gonna go do yoga in Costa Rica. Like,
you never did that?
No, I didn't do it. I was like, I mean, something I might do in the future, but not mm-hmm. I didn't have that calling. Like,
right, right.
So like, you want to give yourself time and space. And also too, like, you want to give yourself time to let it fully settle in before you start sharing. Because mm-hmm. your ceremony is so sacred, and what happens to you, like, a lot of times you want to share with everyone, but it's like, why are you like kind of letting everyone in into your experience that's sacred to you? Mm-hmm. And before you have like properly processed it.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, because a lot of friends are probably wondering how to go, you know, if you told people, and then and it's like, you're
and like, you know, sometimes you do want to tell everyone, but I think now I also am like, you know what, like, it was great, it was awesome, it's just what I needed, I got exactly what I needed. If you want to try, you should go see for yourself, because yeah. also like, my experience is not going to be your experience,
right? For sure. That's exactly it. Like, that's the whole like ineffable, like, how do you, there's no words to describe these experiences. No. Sometimes it's like, I heard somebody say, how do you describe, you know, me being in love to someone that never has, or having an orgasm to someone. You can't. You like just have to experience
colors
it.
Colors to a blind person, right?
Right, right. Like, you just, you can't, so.
Yeah, so, especially people that haven't done any psychedelics, it's like, you, I mean, I can't really tell you about these experiences. Like, you, to try for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, and it, you know, it's definitely not for everybody.
No, and it's not, and, but the one thing is, like, in regards to like ayahuasca, like I've realized this, because in my journey, when I first started working with her, like, I wanted everyone to do it, including mm-hmm. my family. And mm-hmm. I was like, my family has to do it. Like, they need to heal. They got to do the work too. And all this stuff. So like, I told my siblings, and they were like, dude, you're crazy. Mm. And like, I didn't tell my parents at the time about it. And really, then I kind of let it go. And I realized, when like, really what you need to do is not try to push anyone to do it, but just be the change. Do the inner healing,
yeah.
embody it,
right,
and the medicine will work through you. So the medicine's working on you, and if you integrate it, she's there working with you hand in hand. And so what ended up happening with me, 4 years later, the pandemic, I moved back home for a while, and it's crazy, but like just after me going through all these changes and you know, all this stuff became who I am now, mm-hmm. coming back home and like doing sound baths, meditating with my family and doing all this stuff. And they were like, you know what? Like, maybe I want to do ayahuasca. So like my sister did it.
Awesome.
And once my sister did it, my sister-in-law did it too. And then, you know, so they started doing their healing and like, it was all like kind of vibrating throughout the family. And then
awesome.
Now my older brother did it. And now dad wants to do it because, yeah. you know, the kids did it. And my dad has some stuff he wants to work on too. So it's like,
awesome.
I was like, wow, I didn't even have to like, I mean, I've always wanted my parents to do it, but I never pushed them. And now my dad wants to do it.
There you go.
So like, it's kind of like just embody it, like really do your own inner work and embody it. And even if your family or whoever you want to do it doesn't do it, the medicine's working through you.
Mm-hmm.
When you heal, they heal. Mm-hmm. When you heal, the world around you heals too. So like by you being more present, more mindful, more open-hearted, less stressed and all that,
yeah.
they're going to also benefit from that.
Yeah, man, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, it's like don't watch what I say, watch what I do and how I... It's not even what you do, it's how you are.
Yeah.
Who you are, yeah. how you're being.
And yeah.
That just... They feel that and they're like, I want some of that too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, like, and, wow, why does that guy like always feel so good energy and like what's going on? Like, I want
right,
some of that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, man, that's awesome. What in terms of like ayahuasca ceremonies, what's your opinion on like the preparation and the diet and the different things, how you
yeah.
should prepare and how far in advance and afterwards?
Yeah, the dieta. So mm-hmm. I think with anything, like the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. So, you know, especially when you're first working with the medicine, I would say it's very important to follow it. And the thing is, there's so many different iterations based
right.
on the different, you know, indigenous backgrounds and
right.
where they're coming from. And like, you know, but for the most part, the main ones are the same. And I would say follow that, you know, especially when you're first working with it, mm-hmm. definitely follow it. Because the more, especially with ayahuasca, like the more clear you are, the more of your own energy you have, and she just can work with you a lot better. You know, if she has to like work through other stuff, if she's working with someone else's energy, someone else's trauma,
mm-hmm.
if she's working through, like, that's why, like, you know, they say like don't eat meat, especially
mm-hmm.
pork, because that can carry, you know, the pig's emotions and their trauma. They say don't have sex with other people because you're carrying their energy, and all these things. So like
yeah.
if you really want her to work on you and what you're coming in with, and you prepare yourself like more, yeah, it does matter to prepare. However, you know, I mean, I would say a week at least, two
mm-hmm.
weeks if you want to, especially when like working with other medicine. Like ayahuasca does not like cannabis.
That's what I
so,
heard.
Yeah, yeah, so like it's funny. Like, I've seen people that, you know, they'll go to a ceremony and they'll be like, you know what, like nothing really happened. Like I didn't feel anything, or I didn't really get what I wanted. I get the, like, well, like, are you still smoking cannabis? Like, yeah.
Mm.
Okay, well, she doesn't really work well with cannabis. So,
interesting.
You know, they both have feminine energies.
Oh,
yep. So, you know, maybe next time try not smoking weed. The next time he came back, okay, I didn't smoke weed for 3 weeks.
Wow.
And then the ceremony, oh, yeah, I saw something happen.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yeah,
uh-huh.
This is why we have these rules.
For sure, man. Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely followed the dieta, like, all the way through in the beginning, like, going up to the ceremony.
Yeah.
I even did a 3-day water fast
up until
went into it fasted, and the shaman was like,
yeah,
oh yeah, the medicine will work deep in you. And
yeah.
I sure did.
Yeah. And it's funny, because like with me, I you know, I'm in ceremony a lot, so you know, at this point sometimes I'm like, you know, I'll test the waters and like be like, you know what, is this really, like, am I not supposed to do this, like, for certain reasons?
Uh-huh.
So I mean, and that's when I realized, yes, they are there for a reason. So one time, I think like 2 hours before ceremony, I ended up, like, I was really hungry,
mm-hmm.
and I ended up having a donut.
Okay.
And, you know, it was fried, had a lot of sugar, all this like stuff that we're not supposed to be eating during
right.
ceremony,
right.
before ceremony.
Yep.
And so ceremony starts, and dude, like, I was on the floor. I had so much pain in my stomach.
It was excruciating pain. Like, it was like, I don't know if it was the sugar or whatever it was, but it was really hurting me. And I was just like, I couldn't even get up. Ooh. And I was just sitting there. I was like, oh, and I was like, dude, like, what's going on? And like, I was scared that like it was going to be like that for the whole ceremony. And I was like, this is going to suck. And then that's when like I felt her spirit, and she was like, hey, like, if you're going to work with me, you're going to respect me and take it serious.
Yeah.
So then after that, I was able to purge in the restroom, and I felt good. I was like, oh, it was like the best purge ever. I was like, oh my God. I was like, okay, I would not do that again.
Wow, like, lesson learned.
Yeah. I was like, hey guys, these are rules for a reason.
Man, I do love donuts, but yeah, there's a time and place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to test any more stuff because I'm just like, I'm good.
No.
Like,
yeah. Wow. My big question is, you mentioned you work with ayahuasca, psilocybin, combo, and what else?
San Pedro.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. So briefly, I know they could talk for a whole podcast on each thing, but briefly kind of talk about the differences of those for people. Maybe people aren't aware of what each thing is.
Yeah. So, I mean, real quickly, going from ayahuasca, she is a vine from the Amazon mixed with, and I say she because she's a grandmother energy.
Mm-hmm.
She's mixed with chacruna leaves typically and the copy vine. Mm-hmm. And those are found in Amazon. There's different iterations. Like, there's yahe, which is from Colombia, which has different leaves than have chacruna leaves, so they call it yahe for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's San Pedro, which is a mescaline, which is a cactus. Also peyote is a cactus as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is a grandfather spirit, and it has grandfather wisdom. They're different than ayahuasca because, I mean, the medicines are different. Like, they last longer. Mm. It lasts like 15 hours.
Wow.
But you are able to walk. You're able to talk. You're able to be in nature. They call it heaven on earth because it feels like you're on heaven on earth. Like, wow. It really feels beautiful. Like, I've cried before just looking at the sunset while I'm on San Pedro.
Wow.
It's that beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I believe it.
Yeah. San Pedro is very beautiful. It's very, very calming. It's a way, good way to balance the masculine and the feminine if you're working with ayahuasca.
Mm.
And then psilocybin mushrooms, they call Niño Santos in Mexico or in South America. Those, I mean, people know about those, but like, you know, those are also like, it's crazy how many different like strands there are now. Like, there's so many different kinds.
Oh yeah,
there's so many different uses of them. Like, you know, so those are like, just, they call them Niño Santos. So they're like little children.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, sometimes they have the playful spirit. And like, those are pretty powerful too. Like, I've done a lot of my healing with mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I know like mushrooms are the things that are going to take us forward in this movement because they're so accessible. Anyone can grow them. They're like, you know, it's like the people's kind of thing. And like, you don't need a shaman or a curandero or a ceremony to work with mushrooms. You can just do it by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're there for that combo. They call it the vine of the jungle. I'm sorry, the vine of the jungle. The vaccine of the jungle.
Oh.
Yeah. What it is, it's the secretions of a tree frog. I forgot of a tree frog. And it sounds pretty intense. And I was scared of combo for like 3 or 4 years.
Uh-huh.
Because to do it, they have to burn your skin. And they're called portals. So I have like a bunch of scars. So they burn your skin. And that opens up like kind of like a portal. And then the facilitator will, you know, scrape the secretions off and kind of apply the dots. So usually you get like about 6 dots, combo dots. And combo, what it does, the intention of it is to purge. Mm. So it lasts about like 5 to 10 to 15 minutes. And you basically go through a flu within that time frame.
Wow.
So you become really hot, really cold. You start to sweat, your heart starts to beat fast, and then you'll start to purge. And when you purge, it cleans out your stomach, like your stomach lining. So you purge it looks like yellow vial, green vial, and it just really good for the immune system. You feel really good afterwards. You're like, feel really alive.
Wow.
And it also works well with intention. So it's crazy, but like combo has its own intelligence. All these medicines have their own intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like, I didn't know that combo had its own intelligence where like it can work on different parts of you and it can work with your intention. So like I've like every experience has been quite different.
Hmm.
And it's just, I'm still like shocked about like how the intelligence of this medicine and how like it kind of interacts with your body.
Wow, that's fascinating. I haven't learned or heard much about combo. That's I've heard of people talk about, yeah, and it's a purging medicine, but wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's pretty difficult too. Like it feels really uncomfortable. But like I said, afterwards you always feel really good.
Have you gotten into that 5-MeO-DMT world with the
With the Sonoran frog? Yep, yep. I have not done that. I haven't been called to it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my community and all that, we don't work with that medicine, so mm-hmm. we just don't feel called to it. So like, I might do it in the future, but like I'm good right now.
yeah. There's just so much out there. Yeah, and you just you know, maybe you're curious, whatever. Oh, you know, maybe I'll try that one time, but like, you can't. You can't be called to it all. I don't know.
And at the same time, another one too is rapé.
Mm-hmm.
Rapé is one that rapé or hapé,
right? Both.
Both. Perfect. In the Amazon, they call it rapé.
Mm-hmm.
But that one is tobacco snuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's mixed with other plants as well. Whatever whoever's making it is kind of works with those plants, and they kind of mix it up. That one is really good. Like they do it before ayahuasca ceremonies, but mm-hmm. you can also just work with it in general. But that one's really good. Like it grounds you, it clears you. It like has such a like. In the presence kind of thing.
Yep.
It brings you into presence. And they say it also decalcifies your pineal gland.
Oh.
Yeah. So it really kind of like, it's good for meditation. Like I use it to meditate or like before ceremony or just in general. Like it's a good medicine to work with. It's really like strong. And like tobacco too. Like tobacco is used in ceremonies too, but like a different kind. It's not like.
The Mapacho.
Yeah. It's not like the kind that we smoke here. It's like Mapacho and it's done like. Tobacco is a great communicator to the plant spirits or to the spirit world. Sorry. It's a great communicator. So you can really, you know, put your intention into the tobacco, you know, say your prayers. You can cleanse. It's actually like so powerful in the spirit world that we abuse of it here in America. Like we, you know, so we have no intention with it.
Yeah.
And it's something that's mistreated, but it's actually like a really good, you know, powerful teacher as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I've heard. And I mean, you know, even just physiologically, we have nicotinic receptors for a reason in our body, you know, and tobacco, when used, you know, appropriately and like clean, organic, like without 3,000 chemicals like cigarettes have, like can be used medicinally. And I looked up Mapacho because I was so curious, like, what that's that all about? And it's tobacco that has like way more nicotine.
Yeah, 7 times the amount.
Yeah.
It has nicotina rustica.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 7 times the amount. But it's funny because I never actually smoked cigarettes.
Yeah, me either.
So like I never smoked them. And I was actually against like for a while smoking Mapachos because I was like, I don't want that guy. I was against all this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, like one time in ceremony, like it just kind of like came to me that like, the spirit itself has a lot to teach us and it's a great communicator and a good protector. And like, so I sat with a Mapacho in ceremony and it was crazy. It was like the smoke, like when I lit it up, the smoke kind of like got really like, kind of like in my face. It just kind of like blew some the air. So I don't know what happened. The air or something happened like mystical where like the fume got kind of bright and went in my face, but it felt like really cleansing and like really good.
Uh-huh.
And it was almost like welcoming me. And since then, I'm like, okay, Mapacho's cool.
You're like, I got you now.
Yeah. So it's good. It's a good spirit.
You became buddies.
Yeah, we're buddies.
That's awesome, man. Wow. Very cool. I want to end with what have been some of your biggest lessons or takeaways from the medicines? I mean, I know there's so many, but like what really has like impacted you the most that you just like really want to share with everybody?
Yeah, I would say, let's see, that's a difficult one because I've had a lot of lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing, and when I was first working with it, the most thing I was struggling with is just being in my mind and like how I like this inner critic and like just always being in my mind, always caring about what others think about me, like all these kind of negative belief systems and all that. And like the medicine, really the one thing that it helped me to do the most was to get out of my mind and into my heart. Like living in the heart space, like being in there, like being in present and you know, really in the present moment. You know, the mind likes to think in the past, also likes to be in the future, likes to be everywhere but here.
Right.
And when, you know, the present moment is really the only time that we have control of. It's just, that is, that's all there is. That's all there was. But like, our mind is so good at going elsewhere and like wanting to time travel back and forth. So I think the medicine really helped me out, get out of that monkey mind. I used to have a lot of anxiety before, and it really helped me like get out of that mindset. And then it'll come back, but it's not as bad as before. And really be heart centered and heart led, and just lead with that and to be in alignment. So it kind of always helps me come back.
Very much so. And just puts you, when you're in your heart, you know, you're coming from love. You know, you're not afraid, you know, there's no fear, it's love. And all these medicines, you know, for me, have just like forced you to experience like, hey, this is the present moment. And this is what it's like to just like really feel some deep love for yourself and the whole, you know, universe and everything. And so it's like teaching you, kind of like showing you like what's possible, and then it's up to you to go and apply that to your everyday life.
And I think like one thing, a conclusion that I came up with, they all come from Mother Earth. And I think it's just Mother Earth wanting her children to heal and to kind of just come back. And like, because we're all suffering in some kind of way. And at the end of the day, like, she just wants us to like just be present, be here, be in joy. And live a good life.
That's it. Well said. And man, I can't believe hours flown by already. Time flies when you're, you know, what is time really, right? You see that in ceremony, I'm sure.
Time is not
So but yeah, it's been really a blast having you here, man. And we could talk much more. I'm sure we'll connect again on here in the future and integrate some experiences, joint experiences. Who knows? And so any last final words for everybody listening here? I really appreciate having you, but what would you like to say to end it?
Some final words are, at the end of the day, you are the medicine.
Wow. That's it.
That's it.
Feel that. Awesome.
Mic drop.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks so much. And we'll until next time, bro.
Yes, thank you.